Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
That wasn't right.
It might be right, though. It might be accurate. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your calls on Saquon. Should the Eagles be careful with the usage? 26 touches week one. We shall see. Joining us right now to talk about the game, their running back, and just what the heck happened with their quarterback situation last week is Carl Dukes, 92.9 the game in Atlanta of Dukes Abell. Carl, how you doing, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, you know what? That one right, man. I heard that Kirk Cousins. That one right.
I didn't know they were going to do that.
It might be accurate, though. It might be accurate.
Looking for an out clause. You know what? After throwing for just $155 and throwing two picks, a fumble, he was terrible last week. And listen, last night or yesterday, he admitted he was rusty. Guys, I don't know if I buy that. I don't know if it was more about the adjustment to the offense, if it's his mobility, which is what we've been spending a lot of time on, or if Kirk Cousins, you know, just looked washed. So we're going to find out a lot. And, you know, the bottom line is we got to find a way to block those big boys up front. Jalen Carter and those guys want to eat. We know how the Steelers got after this O-line, so I'm very curious to see how Cousins comes back.
You know what, especially after the weekend we had, Carl, where we didn't get any sacks. Well, we got a couple, but we didn't get any from the defensive line, and everybody's kind of, you know, down on Bryce Huff. But this is a question I have for you because you're in Atlanta, and I've had some friends of mine in Atlanta call me, so I'm asking you flat out because you're on the airways every day. Are they calling for Michael Penix, man?
Well, Hugh, you know the deal, man. Listen, I think once they drafted him, everybody said, when are we going to see him? And there is an excitement building to whenever the Michael Penix era is going to start. I think Raheem Morris has tried to be clear as possible, saying, hey, Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. Guys, they signed him to a four-year deal. It's really 2 years, okay? It's $45 million, $10 million. It doesn't kill you in the cap that third year if you wanted to move on. But if this is injury-related and he's not 100%, Hugh, you already know the brothers are calling for this Michael Penix kid. They want him right now. I mean, they're excited about him. So, yes, the bottom line is there is a fraction of the audience that says, hey, when are we going to see Penix if Cousins continues to play like this? That's why Monday night is such a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. It's a big game. It's a fascinating game, Carl, between the Eagles and the Falcons. And the one part that we're going to watch very closely here is how much you guys use Bijan Robinson and how much damage he does. So, Carl, last year before the draft, we ended up with Jalen Carter, but there was a whole lot of people, including our producer, who wanted Bijan Robinson as an Eagle. Falcons,
bad.
Yeah, Falcons got him, and now he gets to run against a defense in the Eagles that gave up 163 on the ground last week. How much should we expect out of Bijan, and how's he looking right now?
So Zach Robinson told us in the offseason, you know, that they were excited and how they wanted to play and use him, and then I talked to Bijan because I wanted him desperately in Atlanta. I thought he was the third best player in that draft overall. It didn't matter position. And being a Texas guy, watching him at Texas, I thought he was dynamic, unique, all the things you're seeing. So Bijan said to me in the offseason, I said, what have you been working on? He said, man, I watched every tape that I could of Christian McCaffrey. I said, really? And he was like, yeah, because – I think that's what they're going to do, or at least attempt to do with me. If you look at game one, that's exactly what they tried to do. Quick hitters, toss sweeps, zones, outside, inside. He touched the ball more than anybody expected in game one. So I'm expecting them to know what they know about what happened with the Eagles in week one against Green Bay, to come right back at it and attempt to get him the ball as much as possible. Guys, he's going to see the rock 18 to 25 times a game, in my opinion, and that's just not handoffs. Obviously, that's various ways of getting him the rock.
You know, let's move to the defensive side of the ball. And I know Grady Jarrett is coming off of a knee injury that he had last year. How did he look last week, Carl?
Man, Hugh, he looked better than he did. I mean, like, his quickness, his explosiveness, you know, being the player that you were, man, I mean, his get-off, Grady is balling. And he had a sack last week against Justin Fields, who, again, you know, is certainly athletic and elusive. After the game, he said, man, I feel as good as I've ever felt. I think his offseason work with rehab and the strength training and the stuff he did, but he looks legit, man. And you know, David Onyemata is a veteran in there. I don't think he gets enough credit. But Grady has said this. This is the best defense as far as guys around him that he's been on probably since the Super Bowl defense, and that was kind of an unnamed, no-name defense, right? I mean, they really didn't have superstars on that defense in 2016. So I think, like, he feels really good about where the defense is. And, guys, they got off the field last week. I mean, as crazy as the offense played and didn't do stuff, the defense got off the field numerous times to give them a chance to try to win that game. And, again, Cousins just wasn't good enough.
Carl, is this being talked about and thought of as almost a must-win for Atlanta? They're 0-1. I believe that you guys have Kansas City next week. I mean, this feels like they got to have this Monday. Some desperation for the Falcons. Otherwise, they might be staring at 0-3 start here.
You had to remind me of that, didn't you? Yes, Sunday night, Kansas City, next week in Mercedes-Benz. If you lose Monday night, yes, you're staring at 0-3 in the face because we know what Patrick Mahomes is. Then, oh, by the way, guys, your arch rival comes in the New Orleans Saints. So
that's always a good game, too, boy.
It's always it's one of the most underrated rivalries in the NFL because people who don't live down here don't really know about that rivalry between the Saints and the Falcons. The reality is you could be looking at 0-4, and that's a division game that could really hurt you. So, yes, I would tell you that this game is not only important, but it is absolutely one I think they have to win. We kept saying 2-2 through the first four. You got to be 2-2. You can't be staring at 0-3 and going up against your arch rival. Who, by the way, I know it was Carolina, but they put up 47 points last week. That car looked pretty damn good.
Carl, I'm talking to Carl Dukes, 92.9 The Game down in Atlanta. Carl, I'm curious what the conversation is and how you view Jalen Hurts at this point of his career. A lot of discussion. Although the Eagles won week one, Jalen put the ball in harm's way. Two picks, almost had two more. What do you think of Jalen Hurts at this stage of his career? He had a great season 2 years ago. Last year, up and down. First game this year, up and down. Do you still look at him as a star quarterback, or you have some questions about how good the Eagles quarterback is?
I definitely have questions. Fellas, it's funny you bring this up because I was going to ask you, has he regressed? I'm watching Jalen and I'm like, okay, we watched him at Alabama. We saw what he was. He gets to the NFL. He gets his opportunity. He shines, as you said, 2 years ago, playoffs, Super Bowl, MVP runner-up. Guys, I think he's regressed, and I don't know why. Kellen Moore, the new coordinator's there. I mean, is this just simply him and Sirianni? I have no idea, but the play on the field, he's still cool, calm, and collected, Jalen. but the play on the field just doesn't feel the same. And so I'm not sure right now. I do not look at him as one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, but he can get back to that point. But right now, I have my concerns. And by the way, I think the Falcons are looking at this too and saying, you know what? He'll throw us the ball. He's going to make a mistake or two. So I think they're going into this game feeling like, hey, he's going to give us some opportunities because he's not playing at the level he once was just a few short seasons ago. I definitely have my concerns, fellas.
Yeah, my philosophy on that is when he got that money, Carl, you know how money make some folks act brand new, man. Ever since he got that bread, man, he been a little funny acting, man. I don't know.
It changed him.
You know what they say, don't let money change you. Some people, it changed a little bit, man.
Yeah, that generational wealth, man, we know this. And, you know, I mean, I think Jalen is still loved by his teammates. He's just a good dude. But the play, the level of play that you need, and especially with that roster. Look, I was telling Atlanta this all week. The Eagles, you guys, they got a Super Bowl roster. Look at the players, man. Look at the roster on paper. They have to put it together and make a run. And that is all going to depend on Jalen and his play. And so they got away, I think, with some mistakes, obviously, in the Green Bay game. But you can't play that way all year and expect to be in this thing.
Yeah, you can't, Carl. We appreciate it. Last one quickly. We'll switch to baseball here. Are the Braves going to make the playoffs? Are they going to be on the outside looking in of the Mets, Carl?
Really? You had to rub that in, too.
Why is that ask?
Like, this interview starts with you taking shots at Cousins and saying, his dude's washed. And now you're at the end of this interview asking
That's what he does.
I got to poke at the Braves. I always got to poke at the Braves, Carl.
Listen, I give love to Philly. Philly's been the best team, in my opinion, all year in the National League. I know they've had their ups and downs. But to answer your question, man, I do not think it's going to happen. This team can't consistently score runs. And so even though great pitching, Chris Sale should be the Cy Young Award winner. Even though they've gotten great pitcher, Ronaldo Lopez, whether it's been Charlie Morton, they can't consistently score runs. It's been their Achilles heel. Pardon the pun, Kirk Cousins. But that's what's going on, and I do not think that they're going to ultimately get in. They are, you know, hanging on. They're a game out, a half a game out. I just don't feel like they're going to be able to get it done. I do not feel like this is their year. And ever since Acuna and Strider and all those guys got injured, Money Harris was out, Ozzy, all those guys, that's their core group. Mm. Everybody's been injured at some point this season. It's just not the year, man. I don't believe it.
Yeah, Carl, I think you're right on this. It feels like just a tough year for them. They'll bounce back next year. Carl, we always appreciate it. Thank you for hopping on.
Lot.
And have a good show today, Carl. Thank you.
And if you see Alicia Jarrett, tell her I said hi.
You're a fool, Hugh.
That's Grady's mom.
Oh, boy. Here he goes again. All right, Carl.
Fine,
thank you, Carl. We appreciate it. There he goes.
Fine.
Carl Dukes. I'm not surprised you brought it up. Usually when you bring someone up, you say they're fine.
No, I mean, I'm just saying. She thick like Doug Butter.
When you're doing the porn,
no, I'm just
but you don't want nobody to see you doing the porn.
I'm just saying.
215-592-9494. Your calls after the break here. Should the Eagles be careful with how they use Saquon? I say yes. Everyone's mad about this. It's not plant-based. This is just smart. And do you expect a win on Monday night? Your phone calls. A lot of stuff there. Interesting what Carl said about Jalen Hurts and what the Falcons think of Jalen.
Yeah, that was kind of strong.
Yep. Jalen, we'll hear from him on the other side. What did he say yesterday about his turnovers? Taking some accountability here. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's football season, y'all. And what's on the menu for football season? Pork, of course. Get ready for game day with Hatfield and put some pork on your fork. Elevate your kickoff cuisine with Hatfield's winning lineup of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, and ham. Whatever your tailgate king, if you're a tailgate king or a gridiron gourmet, Hatfield helps you savor the taste of victory. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running, running,
and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and
welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Yeah, they want Saquon to run and run and run. And I want to see Saquon too, but can we be careful here, please? Can we be careful with the usage of a guy that's had a lot of injuries in the NFL? No, it doesn't have to be disappointing. I'm trying to keep the guy healthy for the full season. All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Coming up at 12, we'll talk to Scott Franz. Will you hear what Jalen Hurts had to say yesterday about his turnovers? I liked what he said, taking accountability and trying to be better here. But I did notice something first hour of the show, Hugh. I'm not sure if it's you're in your head. I don't think it is. Definitely Kyle's. And I wonder if it's in the head of some of our listeners here. You know, this idea that maybe we need to run Saquon more than originally planned because there's some doubt now creeping in about the quarterback. I'm playing psychologist here. I mean, that's what I'm starting to feel that people say you can't be careful with Saquon because we're a little, you know.
See, I don't look at it
squirrely about the quarterback.
I don't look at it that way. I look at it more so as balance. I look at it more so as a game-to-game situation because last year we didn't have that. Like, again, and I always have to say that, no disrespect to DeAndre Swift and what he brought to the table because he's a Pro Bowler. But there were a lot of times where it felt like we could have did more, or it just felt like the running game was like, bleh, bleh.
Blah.
It was just like, yeah, you know. It was no, seriously. It was just like, oh, you know. No, seriously. I don't know any other way to describe it. And we talk about, well, yeah, we had a Pro Bowl running back, but it was just like, well, you know. It wasn't that great. No disrespect.
And now it could be great.
And I'm telling you, last week, there's not an Eagles fan that's an Eagles fan that wasn't excited about what they saw because we haven't seen it in a long time. This dude is rejuvenated. Like, I know this week he rubbed some people the wrong way when he talked about his old coach called him wishing luck, which I was kind of weird about. Big Red ain't never called me when I was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that was a little weird. So, yeah, Barkley yesterday spoke about how he spoke to Dable this week and Daniel Jones.
That can't happen, by the way.
Yeah, what are we doing?
We're not fraternizing with the enemy.
Well, it's weird because it tells you two things, in my opinion. Brian Dable didn't want him to leave, and Daniel Jones missing.
Well, like, of course they
like,
do.
Like, for real.
Because
like,
they stink.
Like, it's one of those things where I would not be surprised if they're thinking about firing their GM. No disrespect.
Oh, yeah.
But he's coming off right now as probably not good at what he does. And I'm being nice with the words.
Well,
that I'm
he's
using.
Built one of the worst teams in the league.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that's
because
spot on.
He's an idiot. And I get it because it's who's to say that Saquon would have had the type of game that he had here, but he would have probably put them in a better position to win the game.
Oh, of course. But you said something there about, you know, it just looked better. It's different. But if we're using the car analogy, there's a lot of miles on this car. I want this thing to run for the full season. There's 1,225 carries on this car, or running back, or whatever analogy we're using. It's a lot.
Full disclosure, mm-hmm. Since this is the Joe Giglio therapy session.
Yeah.
I'm scared to death of every time Jalen Hurts drops back at this point.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Until he shows me otherwise, and now a week has gone by, no more passes, okay? Every time.
You talked with your chest the other day about how it's new Kyle, week one.
It's time for honesty. I'm not built for this, okay? I am not built. Like, every time Jalen Hurts drops back, I hold my breath that he's going to put the ball in harm's way. Every time Saquon Barkley gets the ball, I feel like I'm confident that he could break one. And I just... It feels like that's the best way for this offense to function right now.
Well, I think that's fair, and I understand why you're in that spot, but... You know, if we go down your path, we're going to have a quarterback that we're squirrely about in December and a running back on one leg. Okay, we can't do that.
Well, we might need to face reality at some point.
All right.
At some point.
Yeah. Well, how about what Carl told us there? And we'll go back to the phones in a second. That he thinks the Falcons are looking at Jalen like a guy that will throw them the ball a couple times in the game.
I mean, that wasn't surprising to me because of what you saw. Like, if you put him under pressure, that's why people, when they were talking about the Falcons defense, and they're not that good. They're not that bad either. They're not bad.
Well, they didn't allow a touchdown last week. They lost, but they didn't allow a touchdown.
They're not bad. So it's one of those things where you have to look at it and be realistic about they feel like if they put him in a situation where he's under duress, that he will turn the ball over. And that's why I feel like if the running back, get the running back involved. I don't care if it's toting the rock or throwing him the football. He's an outlet. And then when you do that, it changes the dynamic. If you're beating a team, if they go into this game, the Falcons, that is, and they say, okay, we're going to stop the run. We're focusing on stopping the run. And they said, we're going to focus on stopping the run with our front four. And they can't do that, and they have to commit another man to the box to help stop the run, because that's initially what you want to do.
Yep.
You want your front four to control the line of scrimmage and stop the run, and so the guys on the back end can play coverage. But if you can't do that, then you have to commit that other man to the box, and that's when you get opportunities in the passing game.
And that could change things, and hopefully it makes the Eagles' offense more efficient here. Should the Eagles be careful about Saquon Barkley's usage this season? This is surprising. Yes, 63% of people on Twitter today, 37% saying no. The phone lines here are calling me plant-based. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
See, this is why we can't have nice things, Joe, because we finally get a running back that's the best running back we've had since Shady.
Yep.
And now you want to put him in the closet and just keep him there until...
Can't put baby in the corner.
No, I don't want to put him in the closet or the corner. I just want to be judicious and smart about this. 26 touches, that's a lot.
Soft.
Okay, well, I'm not as scared as Kyle has suddenly become with Jalen. You know that?
Plant-based.
It's not sudden.
If you use Saquon, 15, well, I'll say 20 touches a game at least, that helps Jalen with his game management, don't you think?
A little bit.
He doesn't have to do so much?
Yeah, right. It would take the pressure off of Jalen. The ability for Jalen to put the ball in harm's way would be less because he's throwing the ball less. I agree, yeah.
For years, we complained about not having a running back. We run the ball. That's all we've been saying for 10 years, 15 years. And we finally get somebody that can do it behind that actual really good offensive line, if not one of the best in the league right now, even without Jason Kelce.
They didn't want to be plant-based.
Yeah. No, I'm meat eater, Hugh.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about Joe. Well, then Joe wants to be plant-based.
There's door number three here, guys. I didn't say they have to become 45 passes a game, but, you know, we could take some of those carries to Saquon and hand them to Gainwell a few times a game. Hand them to Shipley.
No, we can. All right, real quick on the Phillies. Let's do this scenario. If the Phillies sweep this weekend and the Braves somehow sweep the Dodgers, the Phillies will pretty much lock up the number one spot. I'll just say that.
Well, they'd be in a command. And they also, Jeff, they have the tiebreaker over the Dodgers. The Dodgers have to jump one full. So whatever the gap is, like, just add one to it. Like, if they're up three, it's really four.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one right now. The Dodgers are back. But if the Dodgers get swept, the Braves will still be 9 games behind the Phillies, and the Mets will be 11 games out. And the Phillies will have a 4-game lead over the Dodgers plus the tiebreaker. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that'd be a remarkable weekend. Jeff, we appreciate the phone call. We'll talk to Scott coming up about this Phillies-Mets series starting tonight at 12 o'clock. And really, the Phillies have an opportunity here the next week or so to finish pretty much everything. I mean, they're going to finish the division pretty soon here. They can finish a bye by taking care of the Brewers this coming week. And then we'll set our sights on a number one seed if the Phillies push for that final week. Fabian is up on WIP. Hey, Fabian.
Fabian
was up on WIP. He'll be back. It's all right. Terry is up on WIP next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Terry. What's up?
First off, Joe, need you to chill, man. Got to get one of Hugh's gummies so we can relax.
I mean, I am relaxed. I'm just trying to get you guys to see what I'm seeing.
Come on, man.
Hold up. How you going to give me some of my gummies? Give me some of your gummies. Why I got to give you some of mine?
I'll hook you up, all right? We'll talk about that later.
So what are you thinking, Terry? You want to run Saquon 25 times again?
Man, let the man cook. He's trying to revive his career, man. This is a comeback year for him. Let him cook.
He on the comeback tour. Yeah, let the man cook, man.
Yeah, what about December if he's out of gas? What do we say then?
He's squatting like a million pounds. Let that man cook.
He's a running back.
The man knows his body. The man knows he's been working too hard too much. He already said he's ready to go back at it.
Ready to get back at it, Joe.
Yeah, well, he has. And look, Terry, he's in great shape, and he's a great player. I just want – 26 touches was great, and it was fun. I just wonder, can he handle that again this week and next week and the week after?
Yeah, I think he can because, you know, they're coming off. They had a mini bye week, so they're going to be refreshed, ready to go. You know, they don't – had a couple days off here and there, so they give them time to recover and stuff.
You know what? And speaking of that, I wouldn't mind Saquon – if, say, for instance, if they do decide to give him 26 carries a game.
I wouldn't mind him missing a day of practice every now and then.
So Sirianni did speak about that earlier this week. And Terry, we appreciate the phone call, that they could give him some rest in practice, and that could be their way of doing it.
Yeah, if he's toting the rock the way he's toting, like, dude, all I do is need to see you on Sunday. That's it. If he's that, if you're that worried about it, if he's getting the ball that much, 26 carries a game, then okay, Saquon on Wednesday, you don't practice. Or maybe a Friday. Because I don't know. I don't know how they do their installs, but Wednesday and Thursday are like the heavy days for install, or it used to be. So maybe Friday. Maybe get him off Friday. Friday, Saturday, he don't do nothing.
So that is certainly – but is that really going to change much? Because he's not getting hit in practice.
No, he's not. But just a mental day. Like, mentally, just take the day off. Like, I'm thinking, like, it has to be one of the work days. So I would probably say – I'd probably give him a Wednesday off because I think – well, it used to be. Wednesday used to be heavy. Was it run day? I think Wednesday was run day. And Friday was – I mean, Thursday was passing, like you working against the passing game. So I give him Monday – I mean, Wednesday off. I'll give him off there Wednesday.
Can I try to put in perspective what Saquon did in
the
first game?
Sure, that's what we're all about.
All right, perspective here, okay? Because our last caller said, do it again. 26 touches. Kyle's pumping his fist back there. If he does that every game this season, over 17 – that will be 442 touches, okay? Here are the lists of players in the history of the NFL ever that have had that many touches. James Wilder in 1984, Bucks running back. Larry Johnson, Eddie George, Tomlinson, Edgerrin James. DeMarco Murray was the last one to do this the year before we got him. And then he was cooked after that, at least for the Eagles. Marcus Allen, Ricky Williams. There's only been 8 seasons ever of that many touches.
Those are good running backs.
They are.
I'm sure they've had some damn good seasons
that
year.
They did.
And how far did their teams go?
Now, to be fair, though, it hasn't happened since DeMarco Murray, and then we signed him after that, and it all went to hell. Like, this is more of like 2000 era, right? Where it was Edgerrin James and Tomlinson, Eddie George. Teams don't do this anymore.
Whatever it takes to win.
Well, but you got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah, but we're smarter about things now. We've evolved.
Well, are we?
We should be.
Why?
Because it's not. There's an extra game now, which adds to it.
Hold on.
And I wonder how many of those guys, I haven't been able to look at this, were able to play well through the playoffs after that many touches.
Those guys seem to have turned out fine. And I would wager they were on some pretty damn good teams those years. Eddie George, I mean, was that 2000
animal.
When they were in the Super Bowl? Was Marcus Allen, what, 82 or whatever, when they were in the Super Bowl? When he was running around against the Redskins?
It was 85, Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen kept his stuff.
I'm going to go back and see how many of those guys performed well in the playoffs. My guess is they were running on fumes by January.
I would also venture to say that the running back, like, that's a lot because of the way the game was back then.
Sure. It wasn't as big of a deal then.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, it was probably more like you expected
it
then.
Par for the course, yeah.
Yeah, now 442 touches. I mean, what are we doing here? I want to make sure everyone's okay with this if this guy is a little bit diminished in January.
I think we need a Harvard Hughes study on this.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go look it up.
It's probably inconclusive.
Yeah,
but we'll get there. All right, I need a study on Jalen Hurts protecting the football because he was really good at it. I didn't need Harvard to tell me that early in his career, and he hasn't been quite as good lately. Yesterday, Jalen Hurts had his weekly press conference. He spoke and he spoke about what happened last week. Let's hear Jalen talking about the decision making on Friday night against the Packers.
I think I made two unwise decisions. You know, those are all things that I own. So. Those are things that I got to be better with, truly managing those situations and just taking what they give me.
In those moments, it's obviously like a split-second decision. How do you avoid it, though? Like, because in the moment, it's got to be a little tough to just...
It's not tough. I mean, it's just I made an unwise decision on both of those, and I just got to don't do it.
Well, taking what they give him there, that speaks to being more of a game manager, which we discussed yesterday. Hugh, I liked the way he spoke about his decision-making yesterday. That felt like accountability. Like, hey, that's on me. I made poor decisions.
And you have to do that. And it's one of those things where I understand what the person was trying to ask him. And Jalen was like, just don't throw him. But when you're in the moment, everything is happening fast. And I'm assuming for a quarterback, it's moving really fast because those lanes close up very, very quickly. Maybe he thought, and I'm speculating, that he could get the ball, especially on that first interception. Maybe he was thinking he could get the ball in there, and they wouldn't react to it. But most of the times, you got to know, man, these cats are in the NFL for a reason. And those holes that you had in college aren't those gaps and stuff, they close up very, very fast.
Yeah, the more you rewatch the first pick, I could see why he thought he had it, but he's got to rip it in there. Like,
yeah, you got it. Yeah.
And then McKinney comes running over. All right, let's hear another one from Jalen yesterday. Talking about finding his rhythm, and I sense more accountability here.
You know, all the different nuances that go into it, especially this year with the different changes and finding your flow and finding your rhythm, I think all of those things are to be accounted for. But in the end, it's my job to go out there and lead the football team, go out there and, get us in the right play, get us out of certain situations, and ultimately play smart football situationally, you know, and I touch the ball every play. So you got to be wise with the ball in your hands. And, you know, I have some examples where I wasn't wise with the ball in my hands.
That's all you can ask for, man. I love
that he said this. Yeah. That's what he's supposed to say. We expect him to say he's the quarterback.
But he believes it, though. It sounds like he believes it.
I agree with you. And two things hit me as I listen to that. One, point for Ike, not Baldy, because I think Ike was on the right side of what happened last Friday. I think point for Ike. Love Baldy, but point for Ike in that debate. And the other thing is, he could have said, hey, we had a couple plays. They went the wrong way. We slipped on one. Like, he could have said that. A lot of people have pointed out that AJ slipped. Maybe if he doesn't slip, it's a touchdown. I'm glad he didn't go back to that, because I would have went back to it's still not a good decision.
That doesn't do you any favors.
If he had done that, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't do you any favors, because the one thing that I like about Jalen is the fact that he's laser focused on what the goal is. And when you play like you played, and we've all said it. I've heard Ike say it. It's not Super Bowl winning football. I mean, because that's the standard. And we've heard Jalen use that cliche a lot. Mm-hmm. The standard is the standard. And it only rises. And I've had friends that are diehard Eagles fans talk to me and say, you know, they were concerned, like first game, which I was surprised at, concerned about his play because it mimicked a lot of last year. Now, for me personally, I don't like to bring up last year because last year was last year, but I understood what they were saying. And they were like, there's a lot of times where, you know, I believed in Jalen as a quarterback, but last week, you know, he looked like he regressed a little bit. And then to hear Carl say it, that might be the sentiment of a lot of Eagles fans.
It seems like it is. And we got Kyle over here. It's in his feelings and wants Saquon to run the ball to protect the rock.
I'm just a little bit scared about Jalen Hurts holding the football. So I guess my takeaway from that was, I think he actually likes this offense this year. Like last season was kind of a built-in excuse for him to where like he could fall back on that, and all the time in the presser when he would say those kind of things, it seemed like he was passing the buck a little bit. Like maybe he genuinely believed that it wasn't his fault, that the offense just sucked. Like now it feels like he's like, okay, like I'm in an offense that I can thrive in, and like it's like that literally just comes down to me learning it a little bit more.
Yeah, and he rewatched it and saw like, hey, those weren't good decisions. Yeah, I mean, I'm hopefully that now means he'll make good decisions this coming Monday against the Atlanta Falcons. Fabian in Miami thinks that I'm plant-based. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Fabian. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Joe, I can see why you're vegan, man.
Because of the Saquon stuff? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw this coming today, and that's fine. It doesn't mean it's not smart, though, Fabian. It might be plant-based, but, like, I'm trying to keep the guy healthy here.
Yeah, but listen, like I was telling Kyle, last year, DeAndre Swift, he never had a season where he was healthy. Last year, he was healthy the whole season. I mean, you got to think about it. Look, this offensive line is the best offensive line Saquon has ever played with. This team is the best team he's ever played with. I mean, come on, look. He got 26 touches. He got 3 touchdowns. But A.J. Brown still went over 100 yards. Devontae Smith almost hit 100. Like, the ball's still being spread around. It's not like they're giving this guy 50 touches a game.
Well, they didn't. And that would be in a crazy amount. And you're right. Like, I'm not worried about A.J. not getting enough touches or Devontae. I think those guys will get they'll get the football enough. I'm just trying to keep this running back healthy. He's got an injury history here, Fabe. I need him in December running hard.
And that's my point. My point was that, like, that we still have other weapons, so they're not going to just run this guy to the ground. You know what I mean? Hey, Hugh, when Saquon sees that hole, you know, he looked at the hole, he said, Shauna Sharp, that's my Michelle. You know what I'm saying?
See, in case Yad and Rod, listen, I didn't do anything to do with that.
No, that
was unsolicited.
That's on Unc more than it is on anybody else. Fabian, good phone call, man.
Appreciate you, Fabian.
You got us to laugh on that one. All right, so Fabian brought up DeAndre Swift, right? And his point was that DeAndre Swift ran it last year, and he stayed as healthy as he did in his entire career.
Yes.
That's true. I will point out, though, last year in the second game of the year, we're getting the Minnesota game, DeAndre Swift got 28 carries.
Man, I never saw him again.
And so through the first 3 weeks last year, he was averaging almost 7 yards a carry. The rest of the season, DeAndre Swift averaged about 4. So like he
ain't DeAndre Swift.
Though. No, no, but he started to fall off. So if we're using them, well, they handled DeAndre well last year. Well, he fell off as the season went along.
I feel like DeAndre Swift, again, no disrespect.
Well, he's not that good.
Go ahead.
But it was he didn't take advantage of the situations that was presented to him.
Yeah, he's just fine. He's a fine player.
He was okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
And when you see, like, there were a lot of times where he would catch the ball in space. And it was like, eh. Like, seriously, it was, eh. He could have, I feel like, I ain't never played running back, but I always felt like he could have did more. I felt like it was more to it. Or he got tackled by the first person. The one thing that I remember about B. West being in practice, Brian Westbrook made the first guy miss all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what made B. West special. Even in practice, you wasn't tackling B. West by yourself. You better wait. You better sit there. Like, with your hands wide open like this, as I'm doing the gesture on radio, and just wait for your help to come, because he would make, like, he'd make you look stupid. And DeAndre Swift didn't do that. He didn't do that.
Well, that's why Saquon's a better player. I mean, and Swift last week didn't do much in his first game with the Bears. I mean, there's a reason Swift has been on three teams the last 3 years. Lions dumped him, Eagles dumped him, and now, you know, he's a Bear.
Yeah, like, a couple things on that is, one, we actually have a real offensive coordinator this time. Who knows how to game plan around a running back who's
that's part of it.
Dynamic.
He did it with Zeke back in the day.
And two, Swift isn't the kind of running back that you want to, like, center your offense around.
I agree with all that. But he also...
So forget about DeAndre Swift.
But Fabian brought it up. He came and called me plant-based. He brought a take to the table. And I'm like, well, yeah, but he didn't play as well down the stretch.
He's one
season.
For one then.
All right, that's fine. And listen, you could think this is a plant-based way to go, but it might be the most effective way to go. I'll wear it today. I'll be the plant-based guy. You could actually be a football player today.
Congratulations.
I don't know what the other days are about.
Thank you, though.
We're not taking away your sacks yet. At least not yet on this show. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls here on Saquon. Should the Eagles be careful with him? It's the careful word. People don't want to admit to be careful. He's a running back. He's had injuries. Of course we should be careful with him. And do you expect a win versus Atlanta? Plus, speaking of accountability, Devin White... He may need to be kicked out of a certain group chat. We'll get to that next. Devin White spoke yesterday for the first time since being demoted. Will he be back Monday? And what does he think about being a backup linebacker on this team? You'll hear from Devin White next. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. If you're losing more and more of your hair down the shower drain each day, or your hairline is disappearing, you need to visit my friend, Dr. Rafi at Precision Hair Restoration. He will personally perform the most natural-looking hair restorations using cutting-edge, artist robotic, or neograft FUE. Newly single, have an upcoming wedding or job interview, or just want your hair back? Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100. And get your confidence back, or visit PhillyHairMD.com. That's PhillyHairMD.com.
contribute whatever way I can. And, you know, that's what a lot of, you know, talking me, Jalen, and AJ, we got a group message, you know, and I named it accountability. You know, just how can we pull one another up and what do you need from me? And obviously vice versa with them, just so this can be a better team and those things don't happen. Because at the end of the day, it's a long season. But, I mean, the one thing we've been talking about is one day at a time, you know, how can we be better and just you make sure we're pushing everybody and bringing somebody along, not just, you know, getting on to them, but just bringing somebody with you. You know, if you're a great player, you know, show them how to be a great player, and we have more great players on the team.
The voice of Devin White back in the summer with that accountability group chat with Jalen. And AJ, well, things have changed a little bit here. Welcome back, midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giller. We'll get back to your calls at Saquon and Franski coming up next hour to talk to Phil's with us for the weekend series against the Mets. But Hugh, yesterday Devin White spoke for the first time since we found out he was no longer a starter here. Here's what he said about his role here now in Philadelphia and how we know what his role. What is his role? Here's Devin White yesterday.
They said that you have a role on this team moving forward. Nick said they're going to need you. Did they describe you what that role was?
You had to get it from him.
Well, he didn't want to tell nobody. He was keeping secrets.
What do you make of that? Basically, it was like, go ask the guys in charge.
Well, it sounds like he doesn't know. To be honest, Joe, when I hear that, it sounds like he don't know what his role is going to be just yet. Like special teams. You know, it's funny. We just saw Barrett walk through. And I remember Barrett said something about there was argument whether or not he would play special teams. It's a first-round draft pick. Been playing in the league for a while. Won a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know if special teams is going to be where he goes, but I would say it would be commendable.
Well,
if he did.
I also would say this with that. Commendable, and it also could be his way of dressing in the game. If he's not playing special teams and he's a backup linebacker, are they going to dress him?
I think you kind of have to. Like, he's – and another thing.
But what's his role on game day? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't plan to play him unless there's an injury.
You got to take the mental reps.
He could do that when not in uniform. I'm taking mental reps on my couch Monday night.
I think when he gets healthy that – You know, N'Kobe Dean's a play away from being injured.
That's fair, yeah.
You know, so there's probably an opportunity there. It like there's a lot about this situation that I don't know. And if he's not dressing, that means that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is higher on the depth chart than him.
Sure, of course, and he's playing special teams.
Which I do not have a problem with that. But this is interesting. Like this whole thing. It's interesting. Buddy took all the reps, Joe. Buddy took all the reps in the preseason. He took all the reps in training camp.
2 weeks later, he doesn't even know what his role is. All right, how did he find out that he's no longer a starter on this team? Here's Devin yesterday.
How did they tell you that N'Kobe had won the position battle?
I don't know. I can't recall.
Did Vic come to you?
No.
He said he can't recall.
Well, how about the end of that? Vic came and told you, right? No.
I put it like this. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Fangio and the way that he came in here and his no-nonsense coaching style and the fact that he's transparent in the press conference and everything like that. If he didn't tell that man he wasn't starting, I got a problem with that. I really do. I really have a problem with him being able to talk to people that he rarely know, and he see this man every damn day, and he has to find out from somebody else that he's not playing. I got a problem with that.
I'm with you on this. I look, Devin White's no longer a great player. I don't think we should pretend he is. There's a reason the Bucks said goodbye. There's a reason he got a one-year deal from the Eagles. Hugh, you said it a few minutes ago, though. I think he's accomplished enough in the NFL.
That he deserves that.
That he deserves, hey, N'Kobe's ahead of you on the depth chart. You're still a part of this team. We might need you at some point. Stay ready. And the fact that seemingly didn't happen. That's not good.
Let me tell you this, man. I know on this station, I've always talked bad about Jack Del Rio and him being a coach. But the one thing I respect Jack for is when I got cut, he didn't have the cameras in there, and he told me to my face that I was being cut. Now, and I remember going into the office, and he said, listen. He said, I didn't want the cameras to be in here when I did this. He said, but we're about to let you go. And I said, hey, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and that was it. That's what men do, and that's the one reason why I've always said on this station that I respect Vic Fangio for how he is and how he handles himself. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, if he didn't tell him. But if he didn't, I got a real problem with that. Because that's not how you handle a player of his caliber. Like, he might not be the guy that he once was, but he's a first-round draft pick. And you brought him in here. And he got all the reps. And if you can't be man enough to tell him that he is not the starter, that's a problem for me.
Yeah, it's certainly the most bizarre story of the early season with the Eagles. So we'll see if he's in uniform and what his role is Monday night. 215-592-9494. You can react to that. What Jalen said, Saquon Barkley, should the Eagles be careful here with his usage? I say yes, and I say Bruce in D.C. is up on WIP. Hey, Bruce.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning,
Bruce.
Hey, look. Hey, I like this whole plant-based thing, man. Look, as a pescatarian.
Yes.
You know, I cheat on every now and when a little lamb chop. You know, along with the fish.
Lamb chops are good.
That's not pescatarian.
But he's cheating once in a while. We won't hold it against
you.
I'll
take lamb swim.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of part plant-based on this. Because, look, Joe, I do agree with you on that, but however he needs to play, they need to let him eat at the same time. And what I mean by that, now, so if you notice in the first game, and here's where your concern is validated. I don't know if a lot of people caught this, but this was in the second quarter. He ran a ball up the middle, and he got hit, and I think he was kind of falling down, and he took a stinger. He was actually out for a couple of series because when Gainwell came in, and I can't stand Gainwell. I swear to, I mean, they need to let the other guy eat. I can't stand Gainwell because Sirianni loves Gainwell. So he's trash. And Shipley is actually stronger and shiftier and is a little speedier than Gainwell. But I think that they need to rotate them a little more to take some relief off of Barkley, give him out in the flats, let him catch some offense. I don't want to see him, let's say, exceed 15 running plays per game because we do, although we got a good offensive line, I do agree we just need to be careful and smart about his touches. So what I mean by that is you have to look at your opponent. So if we're playing against somebody like B-more, you know, they got some beasts up there in the front seven, and they eat running backs for lunch. You know, you want to scheme a little bit more for him and to be in the flat, whereas you got other teams like Atlanta, you know, they're not known for that. You know, we probably eat. So it's just really a balanced approach. Mm. But you definitely don't want to, you know, you want to let Barkley get his time.
You do, but you got to be careful, Bruce. And Bruce, it's okay to cheat once in a while. It's plant based. You know, he's pescatarian, the lamb thing. What, you know, it's okay. You could think that way sometimes.
Lamb is good too.
You have it recently?
It was it Osabuco lamb.
You? I'm not sure what that is.
Pretty sure it's veal.
Veal.
Ain't that about the same thing though?
Absolutely not. No.
What's the difference?
They veal is a baby cow.
Oh, okay. See, I thought veal was a baby sheep. That's what I see. I was all messed up. So that you're right.
See, you know what happened? You used to know this, but twice a week you're plant based in this, Joe.
Osabuco is veal, by the way.
Okay.
So it's the baby cow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you had the other day.
Yeah.
Veal's really good, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
This sounds like a pair of guys who want to run the football.
No, it's just like I didn't know. I don't know why I always thought that was lamb though.
I'm telling you, you used to know, and then you became a plant-based guy on this show twice a week, and you forgot. All right, 215-592-9494. On the other side, we will get back to all your phone calls. You want to talk Eagles, hang on. We'll get your call up on Saquon, on Jalen, on the game coming up on Monday. Do you expect a victory here by the Philadelphia Eagles? Also, we got a pretty big series starting out here in Philadelphia. The Mets coming in. Last time we saw them, they stunk. They don't stink anymore. Philly's trying to close out the NL East. We'll talk to Scott Fransky about the NL East, about where the Phillies are at right now. And, of course, the magic number being at 9. Fransky Friday next. Back to all your phone calls after that. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And the base keeps running, running, and running, running.
And running, running, and running, running. And running, running, and running, running. And running, running, and running, running.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Yeah, they want Saquon to run and run and run. And I want to see Saquon too, but can we be careful here, please? Can we be careful with the usage of a guy that's had a lot of injuries in the NFL? No, it doesn't have to be disappointing. I'm trying to keep the guy healthy for the full season. All right, welcome back. Midday show. Coming up at 12, we'll talk to Scott Franz. Will you hear what Jalen Hurts had to say yesterday about his turnovers? I liked what he said, taking accountability and trying to be better here. But I did notice something first hour of the show, Hugh. I'm not sure if it's in your head. I don't think it is. Definitely Kyle's. And I wonder if it's in the head of some of our listeners here. You know, this idea that maybe we need to run Saquon more than originally planned because there's some doubt now creeping in about the quarterback. I'm playing psychologist here. I mean, that's what I'm starting to feel that people say you can't be careful with Saquon because we're a little, you know.
See, I don't look at it
squirrely about the quarterback.
I don't look at it that way. I look at it more so as balance. I look at it more so as a game-to-game situation because last year we didn't have that. Like, again, and I always have to say that, no disrespect to DeAndre Swift and what he brought to the table because he's a Pro Bowler. But there were a lot of times where it felt like we could have did more, or it just felt like the running game was like, bleh, bleh.
Blah.
It was just like, yeah, yeah, you know. It was no, seriously, it was just like, oh, you know. No, seriously. I don't know any other way to describe it. And we talk about, well, yeah, we had a Pro Bowl running back, but it was just like, well, you know. It wasn't that great. No disrespect.
And now it could be great.
And I'm telling you, last week, there's not an Eagles fan that's an Eagles fan that wasn't excited about what they saw because we haven't seen it in a long time. This dude is rejuvenated. Like, I know this week he rubbed some people the wrong way when he talked about his old coach called him wishing luck, which I was kind of weird about. Big Red ain't never called me when I was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that was a little weird. So, yeah, Barkley yesterday spoke about how he spoke to Dable this week and Daniel Jones.
That can't happen, by the way.
Yeah, what are we doing?
We're not fraternizing with the enemy.
Well, it's weird because it tells you two things, in my opinion. Brian Dable didn't want him to leave, and Daniel Jones missed him.
Well, like, of course they
like,
do.
For real.
Because
like,
they stink.
Like, it's one of those things where I would not be surprised if they're thinking about firing their GM. No disrespect.
Oh, yeah.
But he's coming off right now as probably not good at what he does. And I'm being nice with the words.
Well,
that
he's
using.
Built one of the worst teams in the league. Yes. So, yeah, I think that's
because
spot on.
He's an idiot. Set, and I get it because it's who's to say that Saquon would have had the type of game that he had here, but he would have probably put them in a better position to win the game.
Oh, of course. But you said something there about, you know, it just looked better, it's different. But if we're using the car analogy, there's a lot of miles on this car. I want this thing to run for the full season. There's 1,225 carries on this car, or running back, whatever analogy we're using. It's a lot.
Full disclosure, mm-hmm. Since this is the Joe Giglio therapy session.
Yeah.
I'm scared to death of every time Jalen Hurts drops back at this point.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Until he shows me otherwise, and I'm, now a week has gone by, no more passes, okay? Every time.
You talked with your chest the other day about how it's new Kyle, week one.
It's time for honesty. I'm not built for this, okay? I am not built. Like, every time Jalen Hurts drops back, I hold my breath that he's going to put the ball in harm's way. Every time Saquon Barkley gets the ball, I feel like I'm confident that he could break one. And I just... It feels like that's the best way for this offense to function right now.
Well, I think that's fair, and I understand why you're in that spot, but... You know, if we go down your path, we're going to have a quarterback that we're squirrely about in December and a running back on one leg. Okay, we can't do that.
Well, we might need to face reality at some point.
Well, all right.
At some point.
Yeah. Well, how about what Carl told us there? And we'll go back to the phones in a second. That he thinks the Falcons are looking at Jalen like a guy that will throw them the ball a couple times in the game.
I mean, that wasn't surprising to me because of what you saw. Like, if you put him under pressure, that's why people, when they were talking about the Falcons' defense, they're not that good. They're not that bad either. They're not bad.
Well, they didn't allow a touchdown last week. They lost, but they didn't allow a touchdown.
They're not bad. So it's one of those things where you have to look at it and be realistic about they feel like if they put him in a situation where he's under duress, that he will turn the ball over. And that's why I feel like if the running back – get the running back involved. I don't care if it's toting the rock or throwing him the football. He's an outlet. And then when you do that – it changes the dynamic. If you're beating a team, if they go into this game, the Falcons, that is, mm-hmm. and they say, okay, we're going to stop the run. We're focusing on stopping the run. And they said, we're going to focus on stopping the run with our front four. and they can't do that, and they have to commit another man to the box to help stop the run, because that's initially what you want to do.
Yep.
You want your front four to control the line of scrimmage and stop the run, and so the guys on the back end can play coverage. But if you can't do that, then you have to commit that other man to the box, and that's when you get opportunities in the passing game.
And that could change things, and hopefully it makes the Eagles' offense more efficient here. Should the Eagles be careful about Saquon Barkley's usage this season? This is surprising. Yes, 63% of people on Twitter today, 37% saying no. The phone lines here are calling me plant-based. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
See, this is why we can't have nice things, Joe, because we finally get a running back that's the best running back we've had since Shady.
Yep.
And now you want to put him in the closet and just keep him there until...
Can't put baby in the corner.
No, I don't want to put him in the closet or the corner. I just want to be judicious and smart about this. 26 touches, that's a lot.
Soft.
Okay, well, I'm not as scared as Kyle has suddenly become with Jalen. You know that?
Plant-based.
It's not sudden.
If you use Saquon, 15, well, I'll say 20 touches a game at least, that helps Jalen with his game management. Don't you think?
A little bit.
He doesn't have to do so much.
Yeah, right. It would take the pressure off of Jalen. The ability for Jalen to put the ball in harm's way would be less because he's throwing the ball less. I agree. Yeah.
For years we complained about not having a running back. We run the ball. That's all we've been saying for 10 years, 15 years, and we finally get somebody that can do it behind an actual really good offensive line, if not one of the best in the league right now,
and
even without Jason Kelce.
They want to be plant based.
Yeah. No, I'm meat eater, Hugh.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about Joe. Then Joe wants to be plant based.
There's door number three here, guys. I didn't say they have to become 45 passes a game, but you know, we could take some of those carries to Saquon and hand them to Gainwell a few times a game. Hand them to Shipley. Sure, we can.
All right, real quick on the Phillies. Let's do this scenario. If the Phillies sweep this weekend and the Braves somehow sweep the Dodgers, the Phillies will pretty much lock up the number one spot. I'll just say that.
They'd be in a command. And they also, Jeff, they have the tiebreaker over the Dodgers. The Dodgers have to jump one full. So whatever the gap is, like, just add one to it. Like, if they're up three, it's really four.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one right now. The Dodgers are back. But if the Dodgers get swept, the Braves will still be 9 games behind the Phillies, and the Mets will be 11 games out. And the Phillies will have a 4-game lead over the Dodgers plus the tiebreaker. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that'd be a remarkable weekend. Jeff, we appreciate the phone call. We'll talk to Scott coming up about this Phillies-Mets series starting tonight at 12 o'clock. And really, the Phillies have an opportunity here the next week or so to finish pretty much everything. I mean, they're going to finish the division pretty soon here. They can finish a bye by taking care of the Brewers this coming week. And then we'll set our sights on a number one seed if the Phillies push for that final week. Fabian is up on WIP. Hey, Fabian.
Fabian
was up on WIP. He'll come. He'll be back. It's all right. Terry is up on WIP next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Terry. What's up?
First off, Joe, need you to chill, man. Got to get one of Hugh's gummies so we can relax.
I mean, I am relaxed. I'm just trying to get you guys to see what I'm seeing.
Come on, man.
Hold up. How you going to give me some of my gummies? Give me some of your gummies. Why I got to give you some of mine?
I'll hook you up, all right? We'll talk about that later.
So what are you thinking, Terry? You want to run Saquon 25 times again?
Man, let the man cook. He's trying to revive his career, man. This is a comeback year for him. Let him cook.
He's on the comeback tour. Yeah, let the man cook, man.
Yeah, but what about December if he's out of gas? What do we say then?
He's squatting like a million pounds. Let that man, let the man
cook. He's a running back. They all
get worn out. The man knows his body. The man knows he's been working too hard too much. Terry said he's ready to go back at it.
Ready to get back at it, Joe.
Yeah, well, he has. And look, Terry, he's in great shape, and he's a great player. I just want 26 touches was great, and it was fun. I just wonder, can he handle that again this week and next week and the week after?
Yeah, I think he can because, you know, they're coming off. They had a mini bye week, so they're going to be refreshed, ready to go. You know, they don't had a couple days off here and there, so they give them time to recover and stuff.
You know what? And speaking of that, I wouldn't mind Saquon. If, for instance, they do decide to give him 26 carries a game. I wouldn't mind him missing a day of practice every now and then.
So Sirianni did speak about that earlier this week. And Terry, we appreciate the phone call, that they could give him some rest and practice, and that could be their way of doing it.
Yeah, if he's told him to rock the way he's told him, like, dude, all I do is need to see you on Sunday. That's it. If you're that worried about it, if he's getting the ball that much, 26 carries a game, then okay, Saquon on Wednesday, you don't practice. Or maybe a Friday. Because I don't know. I don't know how they do their installs.
But Wednesday and Thursday are like the heavy days for install, mm-hmm. or it used to be. So maybe Friday. Maybe get him off Friday. Friday, Saturday, he don't do nothing.
So that is certainly, but is that really going to change much? Because he's not getting hit in practice.
No, he's not, but just a mental day. Like mentally, just take the day off. Like I'm thinking, like it has to be one of the work days. So I would probably say, I'd probably give him a Wednesday off because I think, well, it used to be. Wednesday used to be heavy, was it run day? I think Wednesday was run day. And Thursday was passing, like you working against the passing game. So I give him Wednesday off. I'll give him off there Wednesday.
Can I try to put in perspective what Saquon did in
sure,
the first game?
Sure, that's what we're all about.
All right, perspective here, okay? Because our last caller said, do it again. 26 touches. Kyle's pumping his fist back there. If he does that every game this season, over 17, that will be 442 touches, okay? Here are the lists of players in the history of the NFL ever that have had that many touches. James Wilder in 1984, Bucks running back. Larry mm-hmm. Johnson, Eddie George, Tomlinson, Edgerrin James. DeMarco Murray was the last one to do this the year before we got him. Mm-hmm. And then he was cooked after that, at least for the Eagles. Marcus Allen, Ricky Williams. There's only been 8 seasons ever of that many touches.
Those are good running backs.
They are.
I'm sure they've had some damn good seasons
that
year.
They did.
And how far did their teams go?
Now, to be fair, though, it hasn't happened since DeMarco Murray, and then we signed him after that, and it all went to hell. Like, this is more of like 2000 era, right? Where it was Edgerrin James and Tomlinson, Eddie George. Teams don't do this anymore.
Whatever it takes to win.
Well,
yeah, you got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah, but we're smarter about things now. We've evolved. Well,
are we?
We should be.
Why?
Because it's not. There's an extra game now, which adds to it.
Hold on.
And I wonder how many of those guys, I haven't been able to look at this, were able to play well through the playoffs after that many touches.
Those guys seem to have turned out fine. And I would wager they were on some pretty damn good teams those years. Eddie George, I mean, what year was that? Was that 2000
animal.
When they were in the Super Bowl? Was Marcus Allen, what, 82 or whatever, when they were in the Super Bowl? When he was running around against the Redskins?
It was 85, Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen kept his self.
I'm going to go back and see how many of those guys performed well in the playoffs. My guess is they were running on fumes by
but
January.
I would also venture to say that the running back, like, that's a lot because of the way the game was back then.
Sure. It wasn't as big of a deal then.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, it was probably more like you expected
it then.
Of
course, yeah.
Yeah, now 442 touches. I mean, what are we doing here? I want to make sure everyone's okay with this if this guy is a little bit diminished in January.
I think we need a Harvard Hughes study on this.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go look it up.
It's probably inconclusive.
Probably inconclusive.
Yeah, but we'll get there. All right, I need a study on Jalen Hurts protecting the football because he was really good at it. I didn't need Harvard to tell me that early in his career, and he hasn't been quite as good lately. Yesterday, Jalen Hurts had his weekly press conference. He spoke and he spoke about what happened last week. Let's hear Jalen talking about the decision making on Friday night against the Packers.
I think I just made two unwise decisions. You know, those are all things that I own. So. Those are things that I got to be better with, truly managing those situations and just taking what they give me.
In those moments, it's obviously like a split-second decision. How do you avoid it, though? Like, because in the moment, it's got to be a little tough to just...
It's not tough. I mean, it's just I made an unwise decision on both of those, and I just got to don't do it.
Well, taking what they give him there, that speaks to being more of a game manager, which we discussed yesterday. Hugh, I liked the way he spoke about his decision-making yesterday. That felt like accountability. Like, hey, that's on me. I made poor decisions.
And you have to do that. And it's one of those things where I understand what the person was trying to ask him. And Jalen was like, just don't throw him. But when you're in the moment, everything is happening fast. And I'm assuming for a quarterback, it's moving really fast mm-hmm. because those lanes close up very, very quickly. Maybe he thought, and I'm speculating, that he could get the ball, especially on that first interception. Maybe he was thinking he could get the ball in there, and they wouldn't react to it. But most of the times, you got to know, man, these cats are in the NFL for a reason. And those holes that you had in college, aren't those gaps and stuff, they close up very, very fast.
Yeah, the more you rewatch the first pick, I could see why he thought he had it. But he's got to rip it in there. Like,
yeah, you
floated.
You got it, yeah.
And then McKinney comes running over. All right, let's hear another one from Jalen yesterday. Talking about finding his rhythm. And I sense more accountability here.
You know, all the different nuances that go into it, especially this year with the different changes and finding your flow and finding your rhythm. I think all of those things are to be accounted for. But in the end, it's my job to go out there and lead the football team. Go out there and, get us in the right play, get us out of certain situations, and ultimately play smart football situationally, you know, and I touch the ball every play. So you got to be wise with the ball in your hands. And, you know, I had some examples where I wasn't wise with the ball in my hands.
I love that he said this. You know, that's what he's supposed to say. We expect him to say he's the quarterback.
But he believes it, though. It sounds like he believes.
I agree with you. And two things hit me as I listen to that. One, point for Ike, not Baldy, because I think Ike was on the right side of what happened last Friday. I think point for Ike. Love Baldy, but point for Ike in that debate. And the other thing is, he could have said, hey, we had a couple plays, they went the wrong way, we slipped on one. Like, he could have said that. A lot of people have pointed out that AJ slipped. Maybe if he doesn't slip, it's a touchdown. I'm glad he didn't go back to that, because I would have went back to, it's still not a good decision.
That doesn't do you any favors.
If he had done that.
Yeah, it doesn't do you any favors, because the one thing that I like about Jalen is the fact that he's laser focused on what the goal is. And when you play like you played, and we've all said it. I've heard Ike say it. It's not Super Bowl winning football. I mean, because that's the standard. And we've heard Jalen use that cliche a lot. Mm-hmm. The standard is the standard.
It only rises.
And I've had friends that are diehard Eagles fans talk to me and say, you know, they were concerned, like first game, which I was surprised at, concerned about his play because it mimicked a lot of last year. Now, for me personally, I don't like to bring up last year because last year was last year, but I understood what they were saying. And they were like, there's a lot of times where, you know, I believed in Jalen as a quarterback, but last week, you know, he looked like he regressed a little bit. And then to hear Carl say it, that might be the sentiment of a lot of Eagles fans.
It seems like it is. And we got Kyle over here. It's in his feelings and wants Saquon to run the ball to protect the rock.
I'm just a little bit scared about Jalen Hurts holding the football. So I guess my takeaway from that was, I think he actually likes this offense this year. Like last season was kind of a built-in excuse for him to where like he could fall back on that, and all the time in the presser when he would say those kind of things, it seemed like he was passing the buck a little bit. Like maybe he genuinely believed that it wasn't his fault, that the offense just sucked. Like now it feels like he's like, okay, like I'm in an offense that I can thrive in, and like it's like that literally just comes down to me learning it a little bit more.
Yeah, and he rewatched it and saw, like, hey, those weren't good decisions. Yeah, I mean, I'm hopefully that now means he'll make good decisions this coming Monday against the Atlanta Falcons. Fabian in Miami thinks that I'm plant-based. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Fabian. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Joe, I can see why you're vegan, man.
Because of the Saquon stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw this coming today, and that's fine. It doesn't mean it's not smart, though, Fabian. It might be plant-based, but, like, I'm trying to keep the guy healthy here.
Yeah, but listen, like I was telling Kyle, last year, DeAndre Swift, he never had a season where he was healthy. Last year, he was healthy the whole season. I mean, you got to think about it. Look, this offensive line is the best offensive line Saquon has ever played with. This team is the best team he's ever played with. I mean, come on, look. He got 26 touches. He got 3 touchdowns. But A.J. Brown still went over 100 yards. Devontae Smith almost hit 100. Like, the ball's still being spread around. It's not like they're giving this guy 50 touches a game.
Well, they didn't. And that would be in a crazy amount. And you're right. Like, I'm not worried about A.J. not getting enough touches or Devontae. I think those guys will get they'll get the football enough. I'm just trying to keep this running back healthy. He's got an injury history here, Fabe. I need him in December running hard.
And that's my point. My point was that, like, that we still have other weapons, so they're not going to just run this guy to the ground. You know what I mean? Hey, Hugh. Yo. When Saquon sees that hole, you know, he looked at the hole. He said, "Shannon Sharp, that's my Michelle." You know what I'm saying?
See, in case Yad and Rod, listen, I didn't do anything, had anything to do with that.
No, that
was unsolicited.
That's on Unc more than it is on anybody else. Fabian, good phone call, man.
Appreciate you, Fabian.
You got us to laugh on that. All right, so Fabian brought up DeAndre Swift, right? And his point was that DeAndre Swift ran it last year, and he stayed as healthy as he did in his entire career.
Yes.
That's true. I will point out, though, last year in the second game of the year, we're getting the Minnesota game, mm-hmm. DeAndre Swift got 28 carries.
And I never saw him again.
And so through the first 3 weeks last year, he was averaging almost 7 yards a carry. The rest of the season, DeAndre Swift averaged about 4. So like he
ain't DeAndre Swift.
Though. No, but he started to fall off. So if we're using, they handled DeAndre well last year, well, he fell off as the season went along.
I feel like DeAndre Swift, again, no disrespect.
Well, he's not that good.
Go ahead.
But it was, he didn't take advantage of the situations that was presented to him.
Yeah, he's just fine. He's a fine player.
He was okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
And when you see, like there were a lot of times where he would catch the ball in space. And it was like,
Like, seriously, it was, eh. He could have, I feel like, I ain't never played running back, but I always felt like he could have did more. I felt like it was more to it, or he got tackled by the first person. The one thing that I remember about B. West being in practice, Brian Westbrook made the first guy miss all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what made B. West special. Even in practice, you wasn't tackling B. West by yourself. You better wait. You better sit there, like, with your hands wide open, like this, as I'm doing the gesture on radio, and just wait for your help to come, because he would make, like, he'd make you look stupid. And DeAndre Swift didn't do that. He didn't do that.
Well, that's why Saquon's a better player. I mean, Swift last week didn't do much in his first game with the Bears. I mean, there's a reason Swift has been on three teams the last 3 years. Lions dumped him, Eagles dumped him, and now, you know, he's a Bear.
Yeah, like, a couple things on that is, one, we actually have a real offensive coordinator this time who knows how to game plan around a running back who's
that's part of it.
Dynamic.
He did it with Zeke back in the day.
And two, Swift isn't the kind of running back that you want to, like, center your offense around.
I agree with all that. But he also...
So forget about DeAndre Swift.
Fabian brought it up. He came and called me plant-based. He brought a take to the table, and I'm like, well, yeah, but he didn't play as well down the stretch.
He's one
season.
For one, then.
All right, that's fine. And listen, you could think this is a plant-based way to go, but it might be the most effective way to go. I'll wear it today. I'll be the plant-based guy. You could actually be a football player today.
Congratulations.
I don't know what the other days are about.
Thank you, though.
We're not taking away your sacks yet, at least not yet on this show. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls here on Saquon. Should the Eagles be careful with him? It's the careful word. People don't want to admit to be careful. He's a running back. He's had injuries. Of course we should be careful with him. And do you expect a win versus Atlanta? Plus, speaking of accountability, Devin White... He may need to be kicked out of a certain group chat. We'll get to that next. Devin White spoke yesterday for the first time since being demoted. Will he be back Monday? And what does he think about being a backup linebacker on this team? You'll hear from Devin White next. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. If you're losing more and more of your hair down the shower drain each day, or your hairline is disappearing, you need to visit my friend, Dr. Rafi at Precision Hair Restoration. He will personally perform the most natural-looking hair restorations using cutting-edge Artist Robotic or Neograft FUE. Newly single, have an upcoming wedding or job interview, or just want your hair back? Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100. 00 and get your confidence back, or visit phillyhairmd.com. That's phillyhairmd.com.
Contribute whatever way I can, and, you know, that's what a lot of, you know, talking me, Jalen, and AJ, we got a group message, you know, and I named it accountability. You know, just how can we pull one another up, and what do you need from me, and obviously vice versa with them, just so this can be a better team and those things don't happen. Because at the end of the day, it's a long season. But, I mean, the one thing we've been talking about is one day at a time, you know, how can we be better and just you make sure we're pushing everybody and bringing somebody along, not just, you know, getting on to them, but just bring somebody with you. You know, if you're a great player, you know, show them how to be a great player, and we have more great players on the team.
The voice of Devin White back in the summer with that accountability group chat with Jalen. And AJ, well, things have changed a little bit here. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillard. We'll get back to your calls at Saquon and Francie coming up next hour to talk to Phil's with us for the weekend series against the Mets. But Hugh, yesterday Devin White spoke for the first time since we found out he was no longer a starter here. Here's what he said about his role here now in Philadelphia and how we know what his role. What is his role? Here's Devin White yesterday.
They said that you have a role on this team moving forward. Nick said they're going to need you. Did they describe you what that role was?
You had to get it from him.
Well, he didn't want to tell nobody. He was keeping secrets.
What do you make of that? Basically, it was like, go ask the guys in charge.
Well, it sounds like he doesn't know. To be honest, Joe, when I hear that, it sounds like he don't know what his role is going to be just yet. Like special teams. You know, it's funny. We just saw Barrett walk through. And I remember Barrett said something about there was argument whether or not he would play special teams. It's a first-round draft pick. Been playing in the league for a while. Won a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know if special teams is going to be where he goes, but I would say it would be commendable.
Well,
if he did.
I also would say this with that. Commendable, and it also could be his way of dressing in the game. If he's not playing special teams and he's a backup linebacker, are they going to dress him?
I think you kind of have to. Like, he's – and another thing.
But what's his role on game day? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't plan to play him unless there's an injury.
You
and
he's take
not
the mental reps.
He could do that when not in uniform. I'm taking mental reps on my couch Monday night.
I think when he gets healthy –
that, you know, N'Kobe Dean's a play away from being injured.
That's fair, yeah.
You know, so there's probably an opportunity there. It, like, there's a lot about this situation that I don't know. And if he's not dressing, that means that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is higher on the depth chart than him.
Sure, of course. And he's playing special teams.
Which I do not have a problem with that. But this is interesting. Like, this whole thing is interesting. Buddy took all the reps, Joe. Buddy took all the reps in the preseason. He took all the reps in training camp.
2 weeks later, he doesn't even know what his role is. All right, how did he find out that he's no longer a starter on this team? Here's Devin yesterday.
How did they tell you that N'Kobe had won the position battle?
I don't know. I can't recall.
No, did Vic come to you?
No.
He said he can't recall.
Well, how about the end of that? Vic came and told you, right? No.
I put it like this. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Fangio and the way that he came in here and his no-nonsense coaching style and the fact that he's transparent in the press conference and everything like that. If he didn't tell that man he wasn't starting, I got a problem with that. I really do. I really have a problem with him being able to talk to people that he rarely know, and he see this man every damn day, and he has to find out from somebody else that he's not playing. I got a problem with that.
I'm with you on this. I look, Devin White's no longer a great player. I don't think we should pretend he is. There's a reason the Bucks said goodbye. There's a reason he got a one-year deal from the Eagles. Hugh, you said it a few minutes ago, though. I think he's accomplished enough in the NFL.
That he deserves that.
That he deserves, hey, N'Kobe's ahead of you on the depth chart. You're still a part of this team. We might need you at some point. Stay ready. And the fact that that seemingly didn't happen, that's not good.
Let me tell you this, man. I know on this station, I've always talked bad about Jack Del Rio and him being a coach. But the one thing I respect Jack for is when I got cut, he didn't have the cameras in there, and he told me to my face that I was being cut. Now, and I remember going into the office, and he said, listen, he said, I didn't want the cameras to be in here when I did this. He said, but we're about to let you go. And I said, hey, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. And that was it. That's what men do. And that's the one reason why I've always said on this station that I respect Vic Fangio for how he is and how he handles himself. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, if he didn't tell him. But if he didn't, I got a real problem with that, because that's not how you handle a player of his caliber. Like, he might not be the guy that he once was, but he was a first-round draft pick. And you brought him in here, and he got all the reps. And if you can't be man enough to tell him that he is not the starter, that's a problem for me.
Yeah, it's certainly the most bizarre story of the early season with the Eagles. So we'll see if he's in uniform and what his role is Monday night. 215-592-9494. You can react to that. What Jalen said, Saquon Barkley, should the Eagles be careful here with his usage? I say yes, and I say Bruce in D.C. is up on WIP. Hey, Bruce.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, look. Hey, I like this whole plant-based thing, man. Look. As a pescatarian.
Yes.
You know, I cheat on every now and when a little lamb chop, you know, along with the fish.
Lamb chops are good. Turtle.
That's not pescatarian.
It's not. But he's cheating once in a while. We won't hold it against you.
Lamb swim.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of part plant based on this because look. Joe, I do agree with you on that, but however, he needs to play. They need to let him eat at the same time. And what I mean by that, now, so if you notice in the first game, and here's where your concern is validated. I don't know if a lot of people caught this, but this was in the second quarter. He ran a ball up the middle, and he got hit, and I think he was kind of falling down, and he took a stinger. He was actually out for a couple of series because when Gainwell came in, and I can't stand Gainwell. I swear to you, I mean, they need to let the other guy eat. I can't stand Gainwell because Sirianni loves Gainwell. So he's trash. And Shipley is actually stronger and shiftier and is a little speedier than Gainwell. But I think that they need to rotate them a little more to take some relief off of Barkley, get him out in the flats, let him catch him over. I don't want to see him, let's say, exceed 15 running plays per game, because we do, although we got a good offensive line, I do agree we just need to be careful and smart about his touches.
So what I mean by that is you have to look at your opponent. So if we're playing against somebody like B-Boy, you know, they got some beasts up there in the front seven, and they eat running backs for lunch. You know, they want to scheme a little bit more for him and to be in the flat, whereas you got other teams like Atlanta, you know, they're not known for that. You know, we probably eat. So it's just really a balanced approach, but you definitely don't want to, you know, you want to let Barkley get his time.
You do, but you got to be careful, Bruce. And Bruce, it's okay to cheat once in a while as plant-based. You know, he's pescatarian, the lamb thing. What, you know, it's okay. You could think that way sometimes.
Lamb is good, too.
You have it recently?
Was it Osabuco lamb?
I'm not sure what that is.
Pretty sure it's veal.
Veal.
Ain't that about the same thing, though?
Absolutely not. No.
What's the difference?
They veal both is veal, a baby though, right? cow.
Oh, okay. See, I thought veal was a baby sheep. That's what I see. I was all messed up. So that you're right.
See, you know what happened? You used to know this, but twice a week you're plant-based in this show. Yeah.
Osabuco is veal, by the way.
Okay.
So it's the baby cow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you had the other day?
Yeah.
Veal's really good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
This sounds like a pair of guys who want to run the football.
No, it's just like, I didn't know. I don't know why I always thought that was lamb, though.
I'm telling you, you used to know, and then you became a plant-based guy on this show twice a week, and you forgot. All right, 215-592-9494. On the other side, we will get back to all your phone calls. You want to talk Eagles? Hang on. We'll get your call up on Saquon, on Jalen, on the game coming up on Monday. Do you expect a victory here by the Philadelphia Eagles? Also, we got a pretty big series starting out here in Philadelphia. The Mets coming in. Last time we saw them, they stunk. They don't stink anymore. Philly's trying to close out the NL East. We'll talk to Scott Fransky about the NL East, about where the Phillies are at right now. And, of course, the magic number being at 9. Fransky Friday next. Back to all your phone calls after that. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.